Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to turn our attention now to some big transitions and goodbyes in the Boston arts community. First, Thomas Lentz announced yesterday that he will step down as director of the Harvard Art Museums. We spoke to Thomas Lentz a couple of months ago on the eve of the museum's reopening after a six-year, $350 million renovation that very much defined his tenure.
This has been much more than a building project. In reality, we've taken everything apart here, physically, structurally, operationally, even conceptually, and put it back together again.
That's Thomas Lentz. Now, joining us now is Sebastian Smee, Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe. Hi, Sebastian. Always good to have you.
Hi, Anthony.
So let's start with that major renovation that Thomas Lentz oversaw. He brought in architect Renzo Piano and really physically transformed the Harvard Art Museums in sort of an extraordinary way. I wonder if you could say a little bit about that.
Well, no, he really did. I mean, it's fun hearing his voice there, isn't it? Because he's so laid back, he almost sounds bored with himself. But he's an incredibly competent guy. He's from California originally, but he went up through many different institutions and, in fact, did study at Harvard as well. He came to Harvard Art Museums with a huge challenge. I mean, this is one of the world's great museums, certainly one of the very top university museums in the world, rivaled only really by Yale and maybe by Oxford and Cambridge. But it was sort of, the building was 50 years out of date. There was no climate control. It still had the original plumbing and wiring. And there were just bureaucratic problems as well. It was kind of three museums sort of trying to fit into one. And so he knew that he had to redo it. The problem was, of course, that then the financial crisis hit. So he'd hired Renzo Piano. They were sort of knocking heads and trying to work on a plan, but it got really tough when the financial crisis hit. And, of course, Harvard's endowment, famously huge endowment, plummeted, and almost everything at the university froze for a while. But the museum went ahead. It took longer than expected. It was more expensive than expected. But I think the results are wonderful. It's an absolutely fantastic building.
Yeah, you wrote about his decision to step down in today's paper. You said he's been put to the test so many times and in so many ways that many people marvel he lasted so long. Are you referring there to the challenges that you were just outlining?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think there really were challenges on many levels, logistical above all. But it's a tough job. I almost thought he'd stick around a little longer to sort of enjoy the
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Why do you think he didn't stick around to enjoy a little more of the glory now that he got this whole thing up and running?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, it maybe he's exhausted. I would be if I were in his shoes, that's for sure. I think it does leave a bit of a vacuum there. Their chief curator of European art has recently left to go to the Met as well. So it's in a way a slightly worrying time. And yet I think everyone is kind of on cloud nine there as well because of the success of the building itself. And it's just so great to have so many of those wonderful works of art back on display again in such great condition.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful space. It really is, especially on a sunny day.
Yeah.
Really amazing the way the light pours into that place. Tom Lentz has said that he'll step down on July 1st, so the Harvard Art Museums will have 5 months to look for a replacement. So speaking of transitions in the local art world, Sebastian, we recently lost two prominent artists in the Boston area. First, I want to ask you about Roxbury native John Wilson, who passed away last week at the age of 92. He's best known for a bronze bust of Martin Luther King Jr., which stands in the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C., but he was also highly acclaimed for his drawings and his paintings. So for those of us who may not be completely familiar with John Wilson, tell us a little bit about him.
Oh, he was a wonderful artist. He really was. He was the son of immigrants from British Guyana, as it was then. It's now just Guyana. He grew up just sketching all the time. He was just a naturally very gifted artist, really virtuosic. He was awarded a full scholarship to study at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts at a really interesting time in that institution's history, and graduated with highest honors, and then went to Paris, worked in the studio of the great modernist Fénon Léger, and then became interested in the Mexican muralists. And went to Mexico and really believed, like those Mexican muralists, in connecting art with important social causes. and communicating with the highest number of people that he could. And I think that, you know, it's interesting. He talked about growing up, his father subscribed to various African-American newspapers. He saw photos of lynchings in those newspapers. Hmm. He said almost every other issue. And I can only imagine the impact that must have had. He really believed in his art in communicating, you know, black dignity, racial justice, and the struggle of poor people. And he carried that through his entire life.
You know, back in 1995, he had an exhibit of his sculptures at the MFA, and he talked about his view of the MFA when he visited it as a teenager. And he said, "None of these people look like me. And just by omission, the implication was that black people were not capable of being beautiful and true and precious." Sounds like he did a lot to try to change that.
Absolutely. And it's really interesting you mentioned that, because he said a similar thing when he was in the midst of installing, you know, his best-known sculpture you mentioned at the statue of Martin Luther King in Washington, D.C. He said until he had his own work in there, in the Capitol building, you know, he didn't really feel part of it. But once it was there, he felt indeed that this was his government. And it's a similar kind of feeling. And I think, you know, you mentioned Sidewalk Sam before. Both artists, we'll get onto him in a second, but both of those artists have a kind of a feeling of ambivalence towards institutions and museums and so on, and instead really want to communicate directly with as many people as possible. And both succeeded in very different ways.
Well, let's talk about Sidewalk Sam. He was born Robert Gilliman, better known as Sidewalk Sam, of course, for his sidewalk chalk recreations of famous works of art. He passed away Monday at the age of 75, and for most of his career did not follow the gallery and museum track. And there's a great story of him, in fact, leaving the reception of his own one-man show at the ICA to go outside on the street, where he picked up his chalk and began to recreate the Mona Lisa in chalk. So here's a clip from Sidewalk Sam from a 2012 interview done by Boston University.
I guess I just wanted to do art that was down to earth. I like art that's out in the open, off of a pedestal, out of museums and into the street.
Down to earth, out in the open, off of a pedestal. His art was all of that.
Absolutely. You know, he's great to quote. I mean, he said a beautiful thing. He said, "The streets of Boston have baby soft skin," and went on to talk about how he wanted to feel that skin and really communicate with the streets and obviously with the people. He talked about believing that art should be pedestrian. I love that as well. You know, he wasn't a great original artist in the way that I think John Wilson was. Wilson knew how to sort of take on board influences, but at the same time forged his own particular vision. I don't think Sidewalk Sam necessarily did that, but what he did succeed in doing was finding an original way to communicate with huge numbers of people. And it was really touching to see all the stories that came out after his death of sort of, you know, amazing moments that people had with him, just on the streets and chatting and running into his work, everyone from mayors to tourists and so on.
Big impact. I want to ask you about this editorial in the Boston Globe today about John Wilson and Sidewalk Sam. And it makes the point that Boston has lost two great artists who saw art as a function to civic life. And as an art critic in this city, I want to ask you about that. Do you think that connection is being made in Boston between art as a function of civic life?
Look, I really admire both these artists and the way they did that. I don't think that great art needs to do that, though. And I sort of object to the idea that, you know, there has to be a function of art. It has to be doing something functional to be justified. There are problems with the whole idea of art for art's sake, but I do actually believe that one of the things about art that's great is that it can be independent from function and just be beautiful or confronting or anything. But it doesn't need to be in the service of social activism. But when it is, and when that's done really well, it's wonderful and it's incredibly important. And both those artists, Sidewalk Sam and John Wilson, did that incredibly successfully.
All right. Well, Sebastian Smee is a Pulitzer Prize-winning art critic for the Boston Globe. He was remembering Sidewalk Sam and John Wilson, who died this week. You can find pictures of works by both the artists at RadioBoston.org. And Sebastian, thank you and have a great weekend.
And you too.
And listeners, just a reminder, we've made a friendly bet with NPR affiliate KUOW in Seattle about the outcome of the Super Bowl on Sunday. At stake, a case of craft beer and, of course, bragging rights about which city is better. And you can help us with that. Here's a sample. First from Seattle. "We don't shovel rain, and we drive to get somewhere, not to prove something." And this from Boston. "No Boston, no America." You can keep it going on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. #snow is better than rain. And that's it for today and this week. Our program is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend and join us Monday for more Radio Boston.